Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Thursday morning. Watching the different various cable channels, and it does the Biden exit drumbeats now underway. So I'm curious to see how this is going to play out. In the meantime, we can deal with the RNC. Tonight's the final night. Donald Trump is scheduled to speak, and I'm told to expect some other notable guest, perhaps. But somebody who's going to have a seat in the building tonight, he is the congressman from the 5th Congressional District up in North Alabama. But always a pleasure to bring on our friend. Dale Strong joins us. I almost called you commissioner there, but Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, it's great to be with you. Just call me Dale. I'm good with that. But great to be with you again, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. Well, let's start here. I mean, you and I, you've been texting me a little bit, and we've been swapping some text messages. What's your overall impression of what's going on? I assume it's kind of electric, but it's not too boisterous, just based on the circumstances from Saturday.
Well, you think about it. We're 100 hours from our candidate taking a bullet for our country in an attempted assassination to keep him from being the next president. That's unbelievable in itself, but this environment here in Milwaukee is pretty electric at this point, and just these stories of J.D. Vance and where he came from, I think that's pretty compelling. And then you think about Kai, the granddaughter of President Trump, talking about her grandfather. I'm telling you, I happened to get a call, and they wanted me to go and do a TV interview with Don Jr. So I go to that go to the staging area for that. He walks in and said, forget it. Let's go to the president's box. He said, we need to be there. Man, you walk in, they put me in the president's box, and a couple of minutes later, he walks in. And so I was two rows behind him, and I'm just telling you right now, it's unbelievable to think about what they've been through, that family. But I'm telling you, the granddaughter, she set that place on fire. It was unbelievable how she was talking about her grandfather, and it touched a lot of folks. And I think the rest of the country saw it last night.
Congressman, I'll tell you something that stands out to me about this convention, just watching it on TV. I mean, you do see Alabama in the room. I've seen you guys with the camera pans around, a lot of faces I know. But, you know, Katie and Wesley Britt in the VIP box on Monday. I mean, you guys really are carrying the banner from our home state here.
Well, I'll tell you right now, that's the one thing is for a little bit more than 9 years, I've known, got to know the president very well. I think Alabama's positioned very well whenever this goes down, because I'm telling you right now, we're on speed dial with the president. It definitely will not help our state. And then you know the commitment that, you know, you look at Mike Rogers, myself, Katie, Coach, just go down the list. I mean, Alabama's pretty consistent with national security, and I think we've got some unfinished business.
Are you, you mentioned J.D. Vance. I mean, out of all the picks, I didn't really have a preference there, but you feel pretty good about that?
I feel good about it. I'll be honest with you. I knew the president had been, with the Virginia governor four times, in recent weeks. I really thought he was going to go that direction, but I think J.D. Vance is a great selection. And I think the story of his family and him telling his kids to get their butt in bed, I think that right there resonates with the common people, our state being one of those. And I think that right there is going to put it in perspective. But I think that you got some this is going to be a dynamic duo with a quick learn. I mean, that's the thing. I think JD just speaks common, and I think it's going to benefit our country.
Well, and I had Judy Barlow from our neck of the woods on just now, but my impression of the Vance pick is this. In 16, he went with Pence, which was sort of the bridge to, I guess, what was left over from the Tea Party wing in the Republican Party. And then when he's after inauguration, he brings in a lot of cabinet members, listening to old Bush people, trying to be like that guy that's going to bring everybody to the table and really try to govern that way. And he got burned. I don't think he's going to do that this time. And I think that Vance pick, Congressman, I think that Vance pick is telling us what we should expect if he wins in November.
You can take this to the bank. He's not going to do that again. You looked at it. You just go down the list. General Kelly kneecapped him, threw out the people that were loyal to the president. I thought that was whenever he became chief, and that was awful. I believe, matter of fact, in conversation, it's going to be about loyalty and people that are willing to work, because the first 100 days is going to set the tone for where we're going with this administration. We've got 4 solid years. I think JD will be learning a lot in this process. But I told him, I said, man, let's go 7 days a week, do whatever we've got to do. But that first 100 days is going to set the tone real quick in where what we're going to be able to accomplish in this next 4 years.
Yeah, well, and I think that's the way that's what people want. They want to get what they're paying for. They want to buy into it. They don't want throwbacks from like the neocon era or whenever in Republican politics. And the one thing you kind of take away from it, maybe some of the messaging has been kind of weird. I thought the Teamsters guy on the first night, I'm not really sure what that was about. I know it was a big get to get him, but I do get the sense that maybe more policy oriented toward what we talk about is sort of this MAGA populism.
Jeff, the issues, it doesn't matter where you go in this country, and I've been to a bunch of states here recently, especially. It doesn't matter where you go, the southern border is the number one issue. We had policies that worked. You had the Remain in Mexico that worked. You had Trump that fueled up ICE air and processed these illegals when they came across, returned them to their country of origin. We know it worked. Biden knew it worked, but that's what he wanted. He wanted to create this circus, and him and Alejandro Mayorkas, they created 100% of this. So now we've got to deal with it. The American people want this mass roundup conducted and get it rolling on day one. And that's the thing we've got to do. You can't reward bad behavior. The first thing you do when you come to this country is come in illegally and give the bird to the American people. That shouldn't be rewarded. That should be the first ones that go back. The next thing that I'm hoping to do as a congressman is to say, if you vote illegally in America, we're going to fast track you out of here. Because that's the thing. They can call it they say, oh, you're trying to intimidate people. No, I don't want illegal aliens voting in this next election. I want the American people, the folks that are here legally should be the ones voting. And these illegals ought to be returned immediately. And I think the vast majority of America stands behind that.
We're joined by Congressman Del Strong here on the program. Congressman, there's something else that occurs to me and like, let's talk about Saturday, the elephant in the room. And, like, they couldn't get that right. They couldn't. That's, like, one of the most important things we expect out of our federal government is the Secret Service to get that right. But I think it's more emblematic of what's going on in the Biden administration, just these colossal failures of just policy, be it execution, be it whatever it may be. If this is going on in the Secret Service, which is very, very front and center, what do you think it's like at the Department of Transportation or the Department of the Interior or any other facet of the federal government that is under the control of the Biden administration?
Well, you saw where the local people were saying, you got a guy on this building. He's dragging a rifle with him. Okay. There's no way that guy looked like anybody in law enforcement. They knew good and well that it wasn't. There were so many things in that. The president, I'm 6'1" easily. He's 6'3.5", and you got somebody 5'6" trying to cover him. I'm telling you right now, they can't cover body mass with somebody 5'6". Thank God the president was able to walk off the stage, because they could not have carried him with the people that they had trying to cover him. Then if you notice, whenever he walked off the stage, pumped the crowd, and was getting in the armored SUV, notice how long that SUV sat there. If the president has attempted assassination on him, that SUV should have been moving within seconds, and it sat there. What were they waiting on, a hand grenade to come out there on it? the American people saw it. You don't have to be in law enforcement to understand there was a true breakdown there. There were some good things that happened, but I'll tell you this right here. I can't imagine in law enforcement having to ask for a green light for a shot on somebody that's on top of a building and the number one presidential candidate giving a speech. I hope that's not the truth, but you know the committees I serve on.
Yes.
I'm on Homeland Security. I was with Mark Green yesterday, the chairman. He said, are you ready? I said, I hope that comes to our committee. Then I saw Speaker Johnson yesterday. If we put a select committee together, he asked, was I willing to serve? I said, absolutely. I said, we've got to get the questions there and find out what's going on. It looked like to me that they'd put, you know, just scrapped a Secret Service group together to do this. And it's strange to me that they still got security on Fauci, and we don't have enough security on who's fixed to be the next United States president. So we've got some ethnic questions, and I can't wait to ask them.
Well, and I think this is the important point, because it luckily the hand of God, by the grace of God, this assassination failed. But Congressman, what if it had been successful? What does the world look like today? And people can't forget. I mean, people need to understand, if that 20-something-year-old kid is successful, how that really would impact their lives. Because there would be profound implications throughout the world. And I don't think people, I mean, it's hard to grasp it, but you talk about faith and confidence in the government, faith in you know, people out there, and you know how people could be with believing what they want to believe. I mean, it's chaos would ensue. You can't have that happen in America.
Absolutely not. And whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you've got to have that security to protect the leader of the free world. And I feel, and I'll tell you this, you know, I've been with the president a good bit. New Year's Eve, I was at Mar-a-Lago with him New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. There were 700 people at Mar-a-Lago. I'm sitting with the president, had a great conversation. And he said, what are your concerns? I said, sir, there are 700 people here at Mar-a-Lago. I said, they checked my ID to get in. I said, then you've got a red carpet and not one bag was checked. 600 of these people he could identify by name. 100 of them he probably didn't know who they were. But I'm telling you right now, this cannot happen. You've got to have sufficient security. And this is the other thing is, no matter, even after they're president, you've got to secure them. And I'll be honest with you, now they know that the odds are he has a high probability he speaks to be the next president. The security that was on him in Pennsylvania, I don't care what they say, that right there was second and third tier Secret Service, unable to holster their weapons, not sure where to go. SUV sits way too long. They have him standing wide open to the crowd when he's walking off. Someone 5'6" trying to cover a large body mass, unacceptable. And then when he comes into the convention the first night, it looked a little bit more like it. 6'6", 245. Able to cover up if they've got to. But I'm just telling you, anybody with walking around sense saw that there was something missing in Pennsylvania. Our hope is to get to the bottom of it. And I'll tell you, the calls that have come related to that have been unbelievable, saying here are questions that should be asked. But if we have to put private security on Donald Trump, let's don't look back. Let's do it today. And that's one thing I did. We've talked to folks right there around him, and that's the thing. If we've got to put private security on him, do that, because we've got to get him across the line.
I mean, you think about talking about that. I mean, it sounds like you've lost a little bit of faith in the Secret Service to do its job.
Well, you know, this is the thing. I think there's two standards that the American people have seen. One standard for the Democrats and another standard for the Republicans. Unacceptable, totally unacceptable. But we've got to make changes now, even before this select committee gets rolling. Like we were talking last night, put folks that you know can protect him. Don't look back and say, man, we should have had people taller. We should have had people heavier, people that could carry somebody out if they are incapacitated. That was the biggest thing that I noticed on TV. Number one, when he got hit, you're sitting there thinking, okay, where's the shot hit? You knew there was blood there. You knew when they were down behind the podium. Thank God you noticed no CPR was going on. Secret Service was communicating with him. And then all of a sudden, whenever they stood up, another breach because he squared up to the crowd and didn't have cover in front of him. And then all of a sudden, you're sitting here and you're thinking, are more shots coming? Going down the stage, open again. Then he gets into the limousine. And lo and behold, it sits there for how long? It just seemed like it looked like a week to me because I was thinking they've got to get moving. They've got to get out of there. And, but thank God there weren't other participants. And, we dodged a horrific situation for our nation. There's no doubt.
Well, and finally wrap it up on this. I mean, tonight will probably be the most watched speech in the history of presidential conventions of any political party. Well, what's your anticipation there? I mean, we talked a little bit about it off air, but what really would bring it home for the RNC, you think?
Well, I think the biggest thing is this country know what's at stake. Number two, the value of everyone showing up to vote. The next thing, protecting the integrity of this election. You know, people, you know, they tag you, these liberal media outlets, and they say, oh, he doesn't believe in the election. I don't believe to this day Joe Biden got 80 million votes. That's just my opinion. So what we've got to do is be sure that we've got poll watchers everywhere. You know, you look at it, it's funny. They say that in Alabama we're 51st in math, but the one thing you can, Alabama, you'll know all 67 counties and how the votes turned out. Usually by about 9:45 or 10 o'clock. We've got some states that can't get it worked out in 3 or 4 days. That's unacceptable. And they could learn a lot from our Secretary of State and these southern states because of how it works. But tonight, the big thing is people understand what is at stake. Donald Trump's fixed to bring a defining moment in his life, this speech tonight. And I think we're fixed to do is we're fixed to watch the Christians get off the sideline. They're headed to vote. We're fixed to watch this country. It's going to be the biggest turnout in the history of our country. And so that's what we want. We want people to come out and vote. The other thing that we're fixing to probably hear in the next day or two is where Joe Biden is today. Every day changes. What you've seen on TV is not something new. The first week I was in Washington, I was in the group of 20 freshmen, including Katie Britt, invited to meet with the president. He didn't know where he was that night. He was looking for a teleprompter. This is nothing new. The media has covered it up. It has progressively got worse every day. I'm over there. I've been to the White House, and I'm telling you right now, what the rest of the country is seeing is what we've seen for 17, 18 months.
Congress, you got to leave it there. You're very kind to come on and talk to our audience down here in South Alabama. And let's talk again soon.
We'll see all y'all soon at the beach. Talk to you later.
All right. Congressman Del Strong there from North Alabama. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Flat, long before you take. Promise me, son, not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble. It won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough. Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on what's left of this Thursday morning. We certainly do appreciate it. Coming up tomorrow on the program, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, and we'll have some other guests, one other guest at least, to be named later, but things are kind of always fluid, so you never know what you're going to get. Coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile, Sean Sullivan, what you got for him today?
Hey, Jeff, a mix of things. Guest-wise, John Sharp's going to join me later in the noon hour, Dale Leash in the 1 o'clock hour, so John with AL.com, Dale with Lanyap, and in the beginning, we're going to kind of circle the wagons here on maybe you can do this, you have a building science degree, right?
I do.
Okay, so building science degree. And I have no degree in it, but I've repaired and put on one roof new and repaired several roofs in my life. 2-on-12 slope. 2-on-12 slope.
Okay.
That's darn near just enough to get the rain to run off, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to discuss that as Cheadle's, you know, using that as, I mean, just say it's my fault. The buck stops with me. Okay, stop right there. Don't go on and say, well, you know, the rope, it was too slopey. It was just like, give me a break. Really?
Hey, Sean, in other news, the streak remains intact.
Which one?
20 years of no nappy.
Which I think is actually harder than winning a nappy. So I think you should be proud of your streak.
This is my 20th year writing for those guys. And I have now had multiple chances to qualify for one. Still no nappy.
Well, the Susan Lucci of the nappies.
I got to get out of here. It's been a pleasure, guys. We'll do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis, forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FN Talk 106.5.